chapter 18, and this is verses 1 to 17. Thank you, Liz.
After these things, he, that's Paul, left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, he came to them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. And they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I shall go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and went to the house of a certain man named Titius Justus, a worshipper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And the Lord said to Paul at night in a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But while Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, "This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of right or wrong, a vicious crime, O Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. But if there are questions about words and names and your own law, look after it yourselves. I'm unwilling to be a judge of these matters." And he drove them away from the judgment seat. And they all took hold of Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, and began beating him in front of the judgment seat. And Gallio was not concerned about any of these things.
Thank you, Liz. So we're continuing with our series on turning points in the book of Acts. We've been moving through Acts, some of the passages there. So this morning, I want us to think about this passage in Acts 18. And I want you to imagine that you've met someone on the street on your way here to church, and they've said to you, "Jill, tell me what the Christian faith is about in three words. In three words. Helen, tell me what the Christian faith is about in three words." Turn to the person next to you and say, "What would you say?" Back to them. What is the Christian faith about? And you have about three, four words to use. What would you say back to them? Have a think. Well, what's the thoughts in the room? Shout out, don't be shy. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Anything else? God loves you. God loves you, yes, yes. We might also say Jesus saves, Christ is risen. But Liam has landed on where I want us to go this morning. Jesus is Lord. Liam, you spoiled it on me, so you did. We read in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." In Philippians, Paul writes, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Those three words changed my life. And I have no doubt they have changed your life this morning as well. Jesus is Lord. And I believe that they still change lives today. They change mission. Those three words, they change people. Everything that we do as a church are built around those words. Jesus is Lord. So let's take a few moments and think about Acts 18 and what God might want to say to you and I this morning. Father, we do pray now as we think about your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak into our lives. Give us ears to hear and hearts open to what you want to say this morning. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is Lord of the mission, I believe, this morning. If we think about Paul, he has arrived here in Corinth, and it's a big city. It's a very pagan city. It's not the obvious choice for a church plant. And Paul arrives, and Luke doesn't really dress it up as Paul arrives in Corinth. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. So it doesn't appear that Paul arrived with his ministry team. He didn't have a tech person. He didn't have a hospitality team with him. It appears that he arrived himself. And he's a tent maker, and he gets in contact with Aquila and Priscilla. So God's already at work there in Corinth, and Paul, he builds relationship with the people there. And we read here in verse 4, every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. This was Paul. Every Sabbath he was going to the synagogue, and he was trying to persuade the people, the Jews, to turn to Jesus. And we know that Silas and Timothy arrive, and then Paul was able to give his time over to this. But we know that Luke tells us here that he was opposed. He didn't seem to be taking any ground. But I believe that Luke wants us to see there is a bigger picture here. The people, they opposed Paul and became abusive to him. And he goes on to say, from now on, I will go to the Gentiles. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And this is a turning point in the book of Acts for Corinth, because Paul, one door has closed for him and he moves over. The mission doesn't stop. Instead, he moves over to the Gentiles. And we see here that Paul, that God is opening up doors for him. The synagogue think that they have silenced. The Jews think they have silenced the message of the gospel. But instead, Paul crosses the street and he goes to the Gentiles. And I think for us this morning, that's a reminder that the mission keeps moving. Even though sometimes doors close for us as a church, sometimes doors close for us in our lives, but God's still at work. And I get great comfort from this and encouragement that Paul, when he speaks to the people, to Crispus, we see that this man believes and he becomes a believer. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I know for me, sometimes when I've spoken to someone or I've been praying for them for a long time and it feels like it's a closed door, it can be easy to get discouraged. We invite someone to church. They don't come. They don't turn up. We share our faith, and maybe people show a lack of interest. And it's easy to think that God's work is stalled. But I believe that Acts 18 reminds us that it doesn't depend on us. The mission is Jesus. He is the Lord of the mission because he is Lord. So sometimes doors close in our lives. We have opposition, rejection, but that doesn't stop God because Jesus is Lord. It wasn't because Paul had a better plan. God had a different plan. And I know in my life, whenever doors have closed unexpectedly, or maybe doors that I expect to close, that God has a different plan, a better plan for my life. And it's the same when it comes to his mission for us as a church. If a door closes, if things don't happen the way we plan, that doesn't mean that God's not at work, because he, Jesus, is Lord. It reminds us this morning who's in control. It's not you and I. It's Jesus who's in control. And maybe you need to hear that this morning. He is Lord of the mission and he's Lord in our lives. We also see here in Acts chapter 18 how Jesus is Lord of the church. I love how Paul, Luke gives us this little glimpse into the Apostle Paul. When I went through Bible college, I loved studying the letters of Paul's letters. I really did. I really enjoyed that. And you almost lift Paul. I'm not saying I don't, but you almost lift him up and think he's never phased. He never, you know, his faith was really strong, and it was. However, in verse 9, we see Luke gives us this little glimpse into maybe Paul's life. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Jesus speaks directly into Paul's situation. If we remember, he's been beaten, he's been imprisoned, he's been driven out of towns. And a bit like what Jenny talked about a few weeks ago, we live with that tension as Christians. Just because things go wrong in our lives, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned us or he has left us. And I can imagine Paul, he's arrived in this city, he's planted a church, and he's arrived and he's planting a church, and Jesus has come to him and said, do not be afraid, Paul. Do not be afraid. And I wonder, did Paul think, is it worth carrying on here? Is this mission too hard in Corinth? Jesus doesn't say to Paul, come on, Paul, pull yourself together. You know your theology. Just get on with it. He doesn't say that to Paul. He says, for I am with you. For I am with you. And he reminds us of that this morning. We think of Moses. God says to Moses, I will be with you. Joshua, I will be with you. Jesus says, surely I am with you always. And each of us this morning, the reminder is, Jesus is Lord and he is with us. He walks with us. No one is going to attack and harm you, for I have many people in this city. Jesus was assuring Paul. He was faced with much opposition, but he says to Paul, I have many people in this city. What did Paul see as he looked around Corinth? They had temples, they had pagan temples, there was a lot of immorality, opposition, but yet Jesus saw something different. He saw a church. He saw men and women, boys and girls who were going to give their life over to him. He saw a people who would one day worship him. We often, as Christians, we hear that the church is in decline. Maybe you've looked at your village where you've lived, your community, and thought there's no one here. However, Jesus says, I have many people in this place. I believe he looks at Malvern this morning, Worcester, and the villages around and says, I have many people in this place. We're on God's mission this morning. He is Lord, and we're on his mission, and he has many people in this place. Earlier this week, I read a little caption from a guy called Carl Johnson. Carl was at college whenever Robert and I were at college in Seymour and Caroline. And he's just recently, he's a pastor and he's also become a member of the national leadership team of Elam. And I read this earlier this week, and it really stood out for me. Carl had written, from Genesis to Revelation, we see a God relentlessly pursuing people, restoring what is broken and reconciling the world to himself. The church exists because of his mission, not the other way around. We are not called to build our own agendas and ask God to bless them. We are invited to join him in what he's already doing. As Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. The question is not, what is our mission? But where is God at work? And how can I faithfully join him? We don't create mission. We simply have the privilege of carrying it like those who have gone before us. Where is God at work? And how can I faithfully join him? Who has God placed in your life that you know? And how can you join? How can you see him at work? I know two people currently that I am in contact with. And I can see God so at work in their lives. Now, they don't know it, but I can see it. They're asking questions. One of them is even trying to read the Bible and find it really hard. But I can see God at work in their lives. Who has God put in your life? Who are you praying for? Who are we praying for as a church when we come together? What about those who you don't see God at work in? Maybe you're sitting there this morning and you're saying, that's okay for you, Trudy. You're a pastor and you get to see this one and that one. But maybe there are people in your lives this morning and it feels that God's not working. It feels like it's one step forward and two steps back. Jesus is Lord. And at the end, whenever we have, when I have finished, I am going to give you opportunity to bring that person, to bring those people to Jesus this morning. He is Lord in their lives. Just because you don't see any movement doesn't mean he is not working. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of the mission, and he is Lord of the church. He's Lord in our lives. And then we see Paul, or Luke, and he moves on. I just love this. I just love what happens next. So Paul, Jesus has appeared to him, or in a vision, said to him, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Keep on going. Keep on moving. And then Paul is brought before Gallio, the proconsul of Achaia. You said it better than I did, Liz. He's brought before him. And in verse 14, just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them. He was just about to defend himself. This guy, this governor, he speaks up. He steps in. He was just about to speak. Paul had heard Jesus say to him, don't be afraid, I'm with you. He's come before this governor, and he's just about to defend himself. And I'm sure Paul was thinking, this is not looking too promising here, Jesus. You know, I'm before these guys. You said you're with me, and now I'm before these guys. And yet, before Paul even opens his mouth, Gallio dismisses the whole case. Jesus steps in. He doesn't need to defend himself. Jesus has steps in. This Roman governor, he's under the authority of King Jesus. And Jesus is Lord over everything. He's Lord in the courtroom, in parliament. He's Lord over kings and governments. He's Lord in the hospital, over our families, over loss, difficulties, sickness. He is Lord over everything. The same Jesus who ruled over Corinth, rules over Malvern, rules over our lives, and rules over his church today. And we are his church, his people. So this morning, Jesus is Lord of the mission. Paul, The door closes for him and he goes elsewhere. The Lord has simply opened another door. And maybe for you, you have recently experienced that time where a door has closed. It's been disappointing. It feels disappointing. Sometimes plans do change, but God has opened another door. And if he hasn't opened it yet, he will open another door for you. Jesus is Lord of his church. What is our mission as a church? Where is God at work? And how can we faithfully join him? He is Lord. And Jesus is Lord over everything. Paul finds himself in this situation that feels totally what's going to happen next. And he doesn't even have to defend himself. Because Jesus has stepped in. Because he's Lord. That's who he is. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that he is Lord in your life this morning? Where do we need to acknowledge him as Lord? What are you sitting with this morning? What are you holding this morning that you're not meant to carry? And he's saying, set it down to me. This morning, as we come to worship now in a moment, I would like us during this time of worship to really respond to the Lord. I felt that as a church, as we think about Jesus is Lord, that there may be people in your lives this morning that need you to stand in the gap for them. There may be people in your lives that are going through sickness at this time. Or it might be you. And you need to acknowledge before him this morning that he is Lord. It might be those that we're already connected with this morning. We think of the little peeps families. And we want Jesus to be Lord in their lives. And I think there's something powerful when we stand in the gap and we make intercession for other people. So in a moment, we're going to sing a very old hymn together. And you can remain in your seats. It will work if you remain in your seats. But I think there's something powerful about coming forward to the altar almost as it would be. And you're standing before the Lord and you're saying, you are Lord in this situation. You're Lord in this person's life. You're Lord in my life. Whatever the situation this morning, maybe it is a loved one and it feels they're very far from God. And you want to stand in the gap this morning and declare that he is Lord. I'm going to be standing there because I have some things in my life personally that I want to bring before him this morning. So as we take a moment now, just to pause and just listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Who or what is he wanting you to come forward this morning and just stand and declare that Jesus is Lord in that person's life or in that situation? Let's just take a moment and listen. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are Lord over everything. And Lord, we exalt your name. And Lord, in this time and in this moment, Lord, we want to come before you, Lord. And we want to stand before you, Father God, collectively as a church. Lord, for individuals, Lord, for situations, for challenges, Lord, for even for our own lives. And we want to declare that you are Lord. You are Lord. Amen.